Hello and welcome to This Week in Testing. It's episode 83. I'm your co-host, Simon Tomes, Community Lead at Ministry of Testing, and I'm joined by Demi Van Malcott. Demi, how are you doing?
Hi, Simon. Hi, everyone listening in. I am doing busy as always. It's a good Friday today, I think. Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah, we were just chatting before we went live about how the week moves very fast. Demi and I were chatting earlier on Wednesday, recording a new section for next week's The Testing Planet. And it feels like it was such a long time ago, but it was only Wednesday. But like things move so fast. How does that happen? Like so much can happen in that short space of time. But there you go. There you go. Cool. Okay, folks. Well, thank you for tuning in. And as always, this is an official Ministry of Testing event. So, for those of you who are joining live, please be aware of the code of conduct. It is in place in the chat. So, hello to everyone sharing in the chat. Lovely to see you joining us and introducing yourselves and sharing where you are right now. And maybe if you want, you can share your Ministry of Testing profile link so folks can connect with you that way. And also, welcome to our podcast listeners. Very much appreciate you tuning in and listening to this episode. So, for those who are unfamiliar, this is a way for us to gather every week. It's an opportunity for us to reflect on what's been happening in This Week in Testing. So, the idea is that myself and Demi, we're just going to have a little debrief about the things that we've observed this week. Talk about some of the brilliant things that are happening in the Mottoverse, and then invite people up on stage to have a chat with us. You are more than welcome to join in. Tell us what you've been up to this week, maybe some challenges that you've faced, maybe some cool things that you've spotted that's been happening, or you want to call out some community members that are doing awesome things. Now is the opportunity, or I should say, this hour is the opportunity to do that. But before we jump on in, Demi, yeah, let's have a little debrief. So, what sort of things have you spotted this week that you'd like to call out?
Well, yes, of course, on the same way, the day we did the recording for the testing planet, there was also, of course, the live testing session with Ben and Jane about accessibility testing. And it was so cool to see accessibility testing live because I don't have a lot of experience with it. So I just kept on typing questions in the chat during the whole session.
It was great. It was great to see you live testing as well, Demi, by asking so many questions. It was like, yes, this is what it's about. And yeah, just amplify what you shared, Ben and Jane. So that's Ben Doan and Jane DeCruz. They did such a good job. Like, it's not only, I think, seeing people run testing sessions, but them actually talking through what it is they're thinking. Like how they're doing it and why they're doing it is really important. And we definitely got that. So, the recording for Software Testing Live with Ben and Jane will be available soon for all our professional members. Do go check it out. And also, I found myself, I was fortunate to review some of the Software Testing Essential Certificate this week. So, we're working on getting Module 10 out. And it's all about demonstrating testing in action. So I caught a few videos. So Marie Cruz has a demo video. Ben Doan, again, has a video, as well as Lena Nystrom. And it's brilliant. Like, three slightly different approaches from each other, slightly different ways of taking notes, and slightly different ways of exploring. It's brilliant to see those three people in action. I think if anyone is new to testing, then that certificate is it's essential for people to check it out. And if you want to, I don't know, would you skip ahead? I wouldn't really recommend that. But if you wanted to just see some live testing, like proper, this is what professional testers do, you could jump to Module 10 if you wanted to, and just get stuck in. But I probably shouldn't say that because there's so much good stuff before Module 10 that you're going to miss out on for it to make sense. But if you were just curious to see people in action, then I'd recommend checking out Module 10 coming very soon. So that's very exciting. Anything else, Demi, that you've noticed this week that you want to call out?
Well, I only today I saw your post about all the events lined up in like this month and next month, like all the meetups happening, and of course, a test bash is also on the horizon as well. So that's also very exciting.
Yeah, for those unfamiliar, I'm in a privileged position to put together a weekly newsletter for the community, and that involves kind of pulling in the events that are happening in the Motiverse. And thank you, Alexandra, as part of Team MOT, who's busy sharing links in the chat. There's a link there to the events page. Do go check it out. Yeah, and part of that, putting that newsletter together, is pulling in all the events that are happening. And it was like, there's this one, there's that one. It's like there's so much going on, and it's yeah, and including Test Bash in October. Actually, I'll jump ahead for those who are watching live right now, and you can see this on your screen. So to describe that, I'm now displaying a slide that has the words Test Bash 2025 on it, and it has loads of profile pictures of all the brilliant people that are taking part in Test Bash. Tickets are available. It is a must go to conference for 2 days. There's going to be a heck of a lot of learning, heck of a lot of opportunity to connect. And also, Demi is speaking at Test Bash. So, all the more reason to go. Ben Doan, me, I'll be speaking. Yes, Ben. And we are so chuffed that you're going to be on the stage.
Ben is everywhere.
About time Ben was on the Test Bash stage. That's all I can say about that. And loads of other brilliant people as well, and hosts. So Ash Colman-Hinier, Gary Shannon, Viola Verhagen, and Gwen Diagram, absolute legendary hosts. They're going to make it a lot of fun and exciting, and they're going to bring the energy. So yes, so yeah, Team MOT, we were discussing a few more little finer details about Test Bash this week, so it's taken shape. It's all happening. It's all getting very, very exciting. And we also have the day before that, if folks can make it, and we really encourage people to attend the Leading with Quality Day. So again, this is in Brighton. It's the day before the first day of Test Bash, so 30th of September, 2025. This is going to be a brilliant day. We have four dedicated activities. It's a one-day educational experience to help expand quality engineering and testing practices across the business. And it's aimed at those people who are in, I would say, leadership positions. So, for example, engineering managers, heads of testing or quality, staff engineers, team leads, CTOs, and CEOs. This is a way of bringing all those influential people together to explore quality and what it means, and what quality engineering means now, and what it will mean in the future. So I very much encourage people to head to that. And if you aren't in a leadership position, tell your manager, go to this. You know, you need to go if you want to become, like, if you want to take the career and our industry and what we're up to with quality engineering is to the next level, then this is the place to hang out and be part of. Great. Okay, Demi. Well. Oh, talking of leadership, actually, I want to call out. There was a really good article went live this week by Alessandra Marrera, from Tester to Decision Maker, Carving Your Path in Quality Leadership. So this is perfect for anyone who wants to get into a leadership position. I won't give much away, but Alexandra has as she provides like a bit of background and some of the challenges we face when we get into leadership. And then she offers 8 steps for aspiring test leaders. So those steps are really cool. Even if you wanted to just skip the rest of the article, go straight to those 8 steps. Don't skip the article because it's brilliant, the whole thing. But if you had a shorter time, you could go to those steps. If you're a practical person who just wants, you know, give me the answers, they are there for you. So do go check that out after this episode. But yeah, it's great that we're getting to work with Alessandra. She's brilliant, tons of experience. She's got a brilliant podcast herself, which I will remind myself to include in the newsletter, actually. I will make a note of that, because she's up to good things with two other leaders in the quality space. Demi, should we get some people up on stage?
Yes, there are so many people in the crowds, and I see some people in the chat saying that they had a busy week as well. So if they want to share, if you were there maybe at the live testing session, you want to share how it was, or if there's anything else you want to share about your week in testing, or you have a question maybe you want to ask the audience, like, come join us, raise your hand. We would love to have you.
Let's do it. And I can see that Mariam, Safi. Yes, Mariam, let's get Mariam up on stage. Okay, press the button. We are hoping that the crowdcast tech works. Mariam, we can see you on stage. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for asking. And your audio is loud and clear. Crowdcast is working. There aren't multiple versions of yourself. So for people who have attended a previous episode, sometimes when people join the stage, they split into 3, 6, or 9. So we don't have that bug today. So I'm kind of disappointed, but I'm also happy as well. It's the feeling we have as professionals where we find a bug, we get the fix, but we're chuffed with the bug, but we're not happy we found a bug. It's the same thing, right?
I'm unique, so they couldn't multiply me.
That's it. I love that. So yes, Mariam, how's your week in testing? What have you been up to?
It's been great. I started learning a programming language, which is a big thing for me, because I have a bad experience with it. Before, when I was in secondary school, they tried, but it was in the program. It was Pascal and C sharp, and it wasn't a good experience at all. it was traumatizing. Since then, I didn't. It was really difficult for me to think of learning programming language. I tried a while ago, 6 months ago, Java, but it wasn't for me neither. So now, Python. I hear it is it's easy and it's fluid, and I've been learning it for 1 week only. Why Python? Because I started learning Playwright a couple of months ago. And I figured out that I couldn't learn Playwright without at least understanding a programming language. So I decided to go for it, and I wasn't sure about if it was Java, TypeScript, JavaScript, or Python. And after discussing it with someone in the industry, he suggested Python, and here I am. So I am really excited. So. It's good. YouTube. I'm following YouTube follow a YouTube tutorial for now, and that's it. So that's it for me.
That is so cool. So you have learned how to program, so you could learn how to do test automation as well. So, wow.
Yeah.
I know, like, yes, the test automation, of course, it's also based on programming languages. So knowing those always helps, of course, of having a good basis. I know, because someone on my team didn't have any programming experience as well. So when we were discussing starting with programming, she was like, Demi, do you know where I can learn, like, the basics of programming? We started there first, so she would better understand how to do the automation tests. But yeah, it's so cool that you've like been trying out the different languages to find the one that works best for you. Like, yeah, deciding which one is the best is always difficult, I feel.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it is.
And I see Amandine in the chat. Thank you for sharing, Amandine, sharing that, yes, and once you know one language, you can understand more easily other languages. That's such a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, congrats, Marianne. That's fantastic. I wonder, maybe for our listeners, is there one piece of advice you could give to people? So say someone is hesitating and they're like, oh, you know what? How am I ever going to get into programming, you know, how do I select a language? You know, if someone's really stopping themselves from going for it, what one piece of advice would you give to that person to help them overcome their resistance to getting into programming? Mariam, if you can hear us, it appears you are muted right now if you are speaking, so we can't quite hear you.
Oh, sorry.
Yep, that's good.
Okay. I think it's by I advise people to maybe it depends on the tool you are going to use first of all, and then your see what you can do. I tried Java, but I couldn't because it was too overwhelming for me. When I tried Python, it was a real relief for me. So I'm not. I don't know if I can give advice for programming languages because I'm not that experienced. To do so, but in programming languages, but that's what I think. I don't know if I answered your question.
Absolutely, yeah. You shared your advice, and that's what matters. So, the advice of like perhaps you can be influenced by the tooling. Yes. Very cool. So, Amandine, I would like to give advice on the stage. Oh, so yeah, feel free to join us, Amandine. You should. Be able to see a hand icon next to.
Yeah, she has already raised her hand.
Oh, so there we go. Oh, I didn't see that one. There you go.
Hi, Amandine. Welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you. I wasn't sure if you could hear me. Okay. So, hello, everyone. Happy Friday. I just wanted to give some advices because. I started testing. Actually, I started with a learning language. I had a training in web development in Java. So I know Java is not the most easy language to begin. So my advice for someone who wants to get into programming, would be like begin very easy, maybe just by understanding first how a program works, how the the machine works, you know, like and beginning by front-end language like JavaScript may be more easy, and it's actually it's something that we usually begin by this actually. And like you have a lot of boot camps that are very nice and free on internet. I'm thinking about what was it? I'm sorry, I forgot the name now. if I find it back, I will put it. If someone knows it, you know, it's a very nice, very well known boot camp, online boot camp to learn programming. Yes, exactly, Ben. Thank you. Free Code Camp, exactly. I don't know what you think about it, but I started also with Free Code Camp, with boot camps like this, and it's very nice to just grab the concepts of programming. And then for a more advanced languages, I'm I don't know exactly because I had a full training. It was a 1 year training. So it, obviously when you're already in work, you cannot have a 1 year training. But yeah, my advice would be like to begin with front-end language like JavaScript and go on these free bootcamps. There are a lot of resources, very big communities as well. So yeah. Super up to date. Yes, Ben is saying that it's not always super up to date. Yes.
Indeed. Oh, thank you so much for sharing your advice, Amandine. It's lovely to have you join the stage and share that with the audience today. Stick around. Or if you're up for it, Amandine, how has your week in testing been? Is there anything else you'd like to share today?
It's exciting but also exhausting week because I completed my QA software QA training last week, so I'm very happy about this. And now I'm searching for a new opportunity, a work. And while I'm searching for a work, I can see that a lot of, like almost all the offers is like for senior QA, right? I don't know if you know about it, if someone, but yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I was a bit distracted by the chat going, no, I haven't seen like, so the most of the job opportunities at the moment are for senior QAs.
Yes.
Oh, that must be difficult because if you don't see yourself yet as a senior QA and they won't then give you the chance to prove yourself as well. Oh.
Yes, exactly. It's like, how to say it? Like, I have some experience and I have been working as an intern in a startup and it was a wonderful experience. I loved it. I helped them to implement like QA processes because I was the first and only QA in the startup. So obviously it was a very huge experience. I learned lots and I was doing mostly exploratory testing on staging, on prod. I wrote the first version of their test specification document. I think we say like this in English, right? I don't know if.
Yes, that makes sense. Yep.
So yeah, so I had a lot of experience with them, but still I'm not, you know, confident enough to take a lead. I mean, and I'm looking forward for this next events like leading sounds very, very interesting. So I will be there for sure. But now I'm not confident enough. I would like to gain experience. And I have the feeling that right now, like everybody's looking for already experienced people. And there are not a lot of chances to gain experience while working. I don't know if it makes sense what I'm saying.
It makes complete sense, Amandine. And yeah, sorry to hear it's a struggle and it's challenging and you're not seeing as many opportunities in front of you that you'd like to see. What I would say is you're in the right place. The Ministry of Testing community is there to support people when it comes to their career growth and opportunities. And, you know, we're grateful that you joined the stage today and shared that with everyone. So, you know, as a community, we now know that that's what you're looking for, and all of us will be on a mission now. We're like, right, we got to find Amandine the opportunity, and we've got to encourage you in many ways to kind of get connected with different parts of the community and see what's out there. So hopeful that something will come your way soon. As you're hopefully finding out, and this goes to anyone listening today, folks who, you know, get stuck in with the community and share their knowledge and experience, whatever that level is valuable and helpful. And people get their name out there and opportunities are more likely to come their way. So yeah, this I'm kind of excited for your next adventures and your next steps, Amandine. It's a brilliant career. There's so many different ways we can all go in. It's very exciting. So yeah, excited for you. And so thank you for being part of the stage today.
Oh, thank you very much. Can I ask just one question to the people that are here now?
Yeah, go for it.
I just wanted to ask, like, since I'm looking for a job now, and I have time to improve my skills even, like, what do you think would be the best for me to learn now that I have time and I'm applying, like, which framework should I look first, or which skill should I improve now?
I was just going to answer that before you asked. Explore the Motaverse, the website of MOT. It's very, very informative, and I've been following it since a year ago, and it's very. It's very good for upskilling and gaining new experience and new skills, and with the website and the forum also, it's very enlightening. There is the certification also. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very good opportunity if you can afford it. So that's my advice.
Thank you very much, Mayan. I will for sure go into it. Yeah, dive into the Motaverse and look at all the things that are shared there.
I love that, Amandine. Yeah, it's quite easy to get lost in the Motaverse, but know that, like, there are other people who can kind of help find each other again, because there's lots of rabbit holes to go down, which I personally think is a good thing. I think as testing professionals, QA, quality engineering professionals, we can find ourselves digging in very deep into particular topics. As Mariam shares, kind of like trying to go as wide as you can first, maybe before diving in, or even if you find out, oh, you know what, I'm really found an affinity with, say, security testing, and maybe that's for me, and you go really deep into that particular place. So there is often, reminds me, there's some glossary items that we've added this week about the difference between being a generalist and a specialist. So those might be worth checking out. That goes to everyone who's listening today, the difference between those two. So you may find yourself in your career becoming a generalist, or you may be like, you know what, I'm going to go a bit more niche and go specialist. So that's got me thinking about that one as well. But absolutely, I think for anyone who is starting their career in software testing, the Software Testing Essentials certificate is incredible. Of course, I'm biased because I'm part of Ministry of Testing, yet I started testing in 2003, and I really wish I had this certificate. I would have jumped ahead about 10 years. There's so much good stuff in it. There's so many wonderful people who are contributing to it. So some of the folks here in the chat today have done some things with it, and it's so good. I cannot rate it highly enough. Well, thank you for joining us, Amandine. I think, Demi, did you spot earlier on, we saw that Emily O'Connor would like to join us on stage. So maybe we can...
Emily, but also Manish was Manish. Asking, oh, it yes. seems. But there is also something weird going on. I think another bug, because there is someone who has raised their hands, but it's someone that doesn't appear in our list of the live audience, but they are in the chat. So I'm very confused right now.
Person
which one would like to join?
Well, should we... Well, shall we do it in date order? So to honor the date order. So Emily, please wait patiently if you're still around. Manish, let's get Manish up. I think we have the power to bring someone up on stage, even if they have not requested to do so. So I'm going to try and find that magic button. I'm going to invite them to the main stage. So Manish, there should be a request coming your way that you may have to accept. Hopefully, it appears on your iPhone device. So this is a test in production, folks. We're going to see what happens. Our expected result is that Manish receives some kind of notification that says to him he can join the stage. I don't see that yet. Okay, Demi, should we try Emily? See if we can get Emily up on the stage as well. Let us do
Yeah.
that. I'm just searching for Emily in the audience. There we go. Oh, hang on. Emily,
Oh,
please hold
there's
fire.
Manish.
Manish has joined us.
Okay,
Yes.
guys, good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Thanks for inviting me. I mean, I didn't know how to raise my hands on the mobile app. Somebody invited me. Thanks for that.
It's good to have you on stage, Manish. How's Oh, sorry, Demi. I'm interrupting. Please do go ahead.
No, you weren't interrupting at all. I was just saying that Emily was also in the list of not live audience, so it's a very confusing list today. It seems that people that aren't on their desktop seem to not appear in our live audience list, which is very weird. Sorry. So yeah, Manish, do tell us about your week in testing, or if you maybe want to contribute to the discussions going on stage today, go ahead. How's it been?
Sorry, for sure. But I saw that Emily wanted to join the stage before me, so I want to be respectful of that. So.
We'll send out an invite for her as well. And in the
Okay.
meanwhile, while we try to get her on stage, you can maybe start telling us about your week in testing as well.
So my week in testing this week especially has been very stressful. So I mean, this is one thing I wanted to bring up. I know a lot of people a lot of times feel burnt out, feel stressful, feel overwhelmed with the amount of work that we do, but oftentimes we do not speak up. But I mean, I have been that way for a long time, but realize that if nobody's going to take action, then somebody has to. So I spoke up this in our retro meeting this week, saying, okay, this is not a sustainable model for the team. We get a lot of unplanned tickets throughout this sprint, and then things get out of order at some point at the end of the sprint. So I spoke up, and then everybody listened in. So I would.
Oh, Manish, from my side, it sounds like your audio has just dropped there. I wonder if your iPhone device has suddenly lost connection. We can still see you on stage, but we can't hear you at this stage.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, you're back. You're back. Please
All
do
right. I'm
continue. Yes.
okay. So what I was telling was, I mean, at times you get overwhelmed, and then there's nothing wrong in speaking about it. I don't know how you guys feel. I mean, if you guys have any experiences from the past or from current experiences, I would like to hear from you. I mean, for me, I just spoke up this week. I mean, it was getting out of hand, and then it was not a sustainable model, according to me. So I spoke to my manager. I spoke to the entire team. So yeah, so that was my week, and it was really stressful.
So sorry to hear it was a tough one for you, Manish. Good on you for speaking up, right? The fact that you acknowledged it and you were thinking, hang on a minute, this is too much for us as a team and as individuals, and you called it out. It's good that you have an environment that you can do that. I can imagine in some situations for some folks, they're not in a position to raise their concerns, and that saddens me. So good on you for being able to do that, and I hope off the back of that conversation, with yourself and the leadership team, that you can work on a way to reduce that stress and tackle the burnout that's happening with yourself and the rest of the team.
Sure. I mean, the good thing is, after that meeting, many people reached out to me personally. They said they feel the same way. But the even more concerning part was when people feel that way, they didn't speak up, right? I mean,
Ah, we lost you again there, Manish. We will sit tight and see if you're able to rejoin us with your audio. I can see you've muted and unmuted.
okay, I don't know what's happening.
You are back, Manish. So you were saying that it concerned you slightly that some of your team members, having reached out to you saying, yeah, I was feeling that way, weren't previously in a position to share that they were feeling burnt out and stressed.
Oh, right. I mean, everybody felt that way. I mean, I knew that the entire team felt that way because I know the amount of work being done on the team, the amount of tickets being accepted and then prioritized. But what made me concerned was people not speaking up. So I took the opportunity and then I spoke and then I had a one-on-one with my manager right after that. And he acknowledged that this is not a sustainable path for the team. And then he's going to speak up and then say a firm no when an ad hoc request come in from all directions.
Good on you, Manish. Well, clearly, I mean, you've been on many episodes of This Week in Testing, and it's clear you're a leader, right? People respect you, they look up to you, and that comes with its own pressures, right? That you're like, oh, crikey, are people relying on me to be the person to say something? And that can actually add to your stress and burden. I say that not to yourself, Manish, but to everyone who's listening today. So that pressure of it being in a... If some people are an official leader or not an official leader, but people still see them as a leader, they can feel that sense of extra pressure. Yet it sounds like, you know, there's a way forward, which sounds like it's a positive way forward at this stage. But yeah, good on you for speaking up and speaking out. No doubt you'll inspire other people who might be listening today to go and do the same. You know, they may go, oh yeah, you know what? I need to go and do something about this. Much as Ollie Fairhall, thank you for sharing, Ollie, in the chat, who shares, I'm in a very stressful situation with work on a number of fronts, and raising it in a respectful and diplomatic way is a good thing to do. People appreciate it. Yeah, totally. Great advice, Ollie. Thank you for sharing. And Linda Hughes on the chat, thanks for sharing, Manish. I can relate. Yeah, hearing you, Linda. Well, Manish, please do stick around on stage. We're so glad that you joined us today. Let's see, Demi, should we see if we can try and get Emily onto stage? So Emily, if you can still hear us, there is an invite waiting for you. It has now disappeared. I will try again, because I think Demi, you shared an invite, and then I'll try it from this side.
Let's see if it works.
I'm going to do the whole switch it off and on again. Don't worry, folks, I won't kill the feed. I mean, turn off the invite and then invite again and see if that does something. Here we go.
So, also, for people maybe seeing it there, it seems there's a question in the Q&A part of Crowdcast. So if you see that part on the right side, the Q&A question mark, Julie is asking if there are any recommendations or lists of QA-specific recruitment companies that are useful to reach out to. So if you have any input on that, go to the Q&A section and maybe answer Julie and help her out. And well, I think we have Emily. Hi, Emily, welcome.
Hi, sorry about that.
It's okay. How's your week in testing been?
Oh, yeah, good. I wanted to be on stage so I could kind of give a perspective of a hiring manager. So unfortunately, I'm not hiring at the moment. But what I really love to see is, you know, if you say to a candidate, have you got experience in these areas that we listed on job spec? Then saying, well, no, maybe not. It wasn't my responsibility in my previous role, or I didn't manage to get exposure to these areas in previous roles. But I've been doing this learning. I, you know, wrote maybe something, a commentary of what I read on a club post or on a LinkedIn post or something like that. And you can show that learning in public, that you've been digesting all this information and how you would apply it. Because I think it shows you're going above and beyond in your own time, but you have that passion for testing. And you don't always have to wait for your employer to give you the opportunity. You're making it yourself, thinking, okay, what is the accessibility of the Ministry of Testing website? And, you know, can I apply this to perhaps something else that I did as a tech test for a company or something like that.
That's wonderful advice, Emily. Make the opportunity yourself. That is the quote of the day. Absolutely.
And don't be afraid of learning in public, because it sparks a much better conversation to say, well, how did you come across this thing? Or why did you continue down this path? Or, when I attended Test Bash last year, I did a post online and I said, I use questions to guide my exploratory testing. And somebody commented on that and said, you're describing a testing charter. Go read this book where the phrase testing charter was introduced. I had no idea. Like, as we've been having these conversations on what quality engineering is and stuff like that, I'm doing this stuff in my job, but just didn't know that that was the vocabulary to describe it. So if you're putting yourself out there and increasing your profile, it shows people your skills, but also it forms a better connection with the community.
Wonderful advice. Absolutely brilliant, Emily. And yeah, it's very familiar what you shared. There's often find folks in the community, like if we put a question out on the club, like what's your definition of this or what's your take on this, someone will share it and they'll be like, oh, I did not know that's what it's called. And it's brilliant, because it's like then people can then offer up their own definition. And with miniature testing, for those unfamiliar, we have a glossary now. So if folks are like, so you mentioned about test charters, so there is a glossary entry for test charters, so anyone can have a look at those definitions and be like, oh yeah, that feels familiar, I wasn't aware it was called that, or you know what, I've got a slightly different take on that. And professional members can now add their own definitions to that glossary. So in a way, there isn't ever one specific definition for a thing that happens in our community, and this is a good way to maybe, you know, on a light-hearted side, to settle some of those debates when folks can get a bit caught up in words. It's like, if you disagree with someone's definition, then just kind of come up with your own, because you know our individual context is important, and we all have different experiences to share and different ways of interpreting and relaying that information with the rest of the community.
Yeah, definitely. And not even different definitions, but different applications. So at what point does a team come up with a testing charter? And how does that guide the exploratory testing that takes place? Or if I'm pair testing with somebody, do we use the same testing charter to guide us? Or do we kind of divide it up so we're approaching the testing from different perspectives? And, I've never come across a situation where somebody says, I do testing in the exact same way as you, Emily, or your team, or your context in that industry, because we all approach it differently to get different value from our testing.
Totally. I'm so glad you shared this today, Emily, and I'm so glad that the technology worked for you to join the stage today. Even though there wasn't the opportunity to put your hand up, we're glad that we could send out an invite. And yeah, you know, a number of, and for folks who are unfamiliar, Emily is doing lots of brilliant work with the Software Testing Essentials Certificate and across the rest of the Motiverse. So much good stuff. And indeed, thinking about charters, a lot of Module 10, which I mentioned earlier, for those who joined now, includes charters like written out goals of, this is a mission-based charter. Even earlier this week during Software Testing Live, Ben Doan and Jane DeCruz were sharing charters to help guide their exploration. And just seeing what people write will inspire us to go, oh yeah, maybe I could try that approach, or, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that before. So it's great. And also to your point as well, Emily, you reminded me, during Software Testing Essentials Certificate, every moment we encourage the learner to add to their portfolio. So coming back to your point around, you know, learning in public and demonstrating, like make the opportunity yourself, folks who take that certificate, it's not about the certificate at the end. yes, that looks good, but it's about the portfolio, the evidence to say, I have done the work, I have tested things, I know how to talk about risk, I have looked at requirements, I know what oracles are, I have an idea how heuristics help me, and actual evidence for a potential hiring manager is really powerful stuff. It goes so far.
Ben has just shared that resource in the chat, and the book that first introduced me to the terminology of testing charters is Explore It by Elizabeth Hendrickson.
Just the best book. It really is. And picking up on a comment from Rosie Sherry. So Rosie, the CEO and founder of Ministry of Testing, the absolute legend. Adding a glossary definition is a great micro way to contribute learning to the Motiverse. Yes, and that reminds me, this week I'm in the process of working out who in the community is getting a community star badge for what they've been up to in February. So hot off the press, a bit of inside information. There will be 136 community members so far who are going to get a community star. There were 131 in January and 101 in December. So it's great to see more people getting stars. And this is the important bit as well. There are now 54 official reasons to give someone a community star badge. So for example, folks who add to the glossary will get a community star badge. People who join the stage today, hooray, we get a community star badge. We also get a badge for hosting. So yeah, there's 54 ways, and we have listed them actually. We Rosie put out a post fairly recently. It's about the community algorithm. We kind of lifted the lid, removed the black boxness of our community algorithm, and that lists a number of ways. Although we do need to update it because we've added a whole load more since that was published. But that is definitely a good article. You can find that on the Ministry of Testing site. Look under our blog, and it's called Community Algorithm. But yeah, it gives you an idea about how people get badges and community stars, which eventually, if people get 5 community star badges, they get a official Ministry of Testing community certificate, which is so, honestly, I got the best job when I get to administer them. It's very, very satisfying to go, yes, this person, they absolutely deserve their certificate. And it's a real privilege and honor to be able to do all the kind of back end stuff to make that happen.
This isn't directly related to testing, but I recently read a book about algorithms killing culture. And the main thing is, it's that black box. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know why you're being fed a certain piece of content or an advertisement or stuff like that. And people are pushed into silos. But this is the complete opposite. This encourages a transparent culture and a community where everyone can get involved. Like, taking steps like that to show people what it is to get involved with Ministry of Testing.
Totally. Oh, I really feel like I'm putting Rosie on the spot here, but Rosie's got so many thoughts about algorithms, like a whole treasure trove of reflections about how algorithms can be helpful and also not helpful and actually, you know, do bad things for communities. Rosie, if you want to come up on stage, now's the opportunity. I don't know if you are in a space where you can jump in. Okay. So I'll read what Rosie shared on the chat. So, that's I think playing back what you just shared there, Emily. So, yes.
There has been negativity around algorithms, but this isn't because algorithms are bad. It's because we've been experiencing them as a black box that ends up manipulating us for the benefit or power and profit. Oh, this is hard to read. I'm sorry. Simon, please, can you take over?
It's fine. Yeah. Well, let me actually, I've seen that Rosie has raised her hand, but I can't see it, but I'm going to try the little hack.
Again, in the list of people that are registered, but not live. So.
We love the bugs with Crowdcast. Rosie, yes, you made it to the stage. Hello.
You have earned a community badge. Woo! Sorry. Hi, Rosie. How's your week in testing going?
Yeah, good. Even better now that I've got my badge.
Yay. So yeah, Rosie, you were sharing your thoughts on algorithms and what they mean for communities. Love to get your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, that quote that I just shared in the chat, I'll just read it out. But that came from something I wrote earlier this week, actually. And Rosieland is just like my website where I write about community stuff, basically. But that's come off the back of kind of Blue Sky being very transparent and looking at new ways of, or different ways of algorithms. And basically, let me read it out and then I'll probably dive in further. But it says, there's been negativity around algorithms, but this isn't because algorithms are bad. It's because we've been experiencing them as a black box that ends up manipulating us for the benefit of power and profits for others. With this focus, it means we end up with engagement bait in our feeds. And basically that's like targeting or talking about social platforms that we know, such as X, such as Instagram, such as LinkedIn. They all have algorithms. Ministry of Testing has an algorithm, but it's because we're transparent and there's really not a lot of automations going on in the background around it. You know, it's like we're being very open and honest and designing around human needs rather than trying to perhaps get the most impressions for displaying ads, for example. And if we look at the social platforms, it's people don't realize it, but they miss out on so much content and they miss out on what they really need to know, or they can't keep up with the people that they thought they were keeping up with, or people post stuff and then they don't see it until a week later, and there's no real good UX process for people to consume content in kind of like a relaxed, human driven way, I guess. I guess when we think about algorithms at MOT, we're thinking about rules, which is basically what algorithms are. They're just rules, and rules aren't a bad thing. And I guess like our rules, we're trying to design with the community, we're trying to design positivity into it. But definitely not having all this, black box type approach, which is very manipulative. So what it will end up looking like, I don't really know. But we're kind of taking it literally day by day, doing it manually. A lot of it is manual behind the scenes, but each week we're kind of looking at ways to build things into our platform slowly and surely. Like the community badges, it's all manual by Simon at the moment, but we're now having discussions of how we can actually build that into MOT and MOT profiles, so that it makes our life behind the scene a bit easier.
Thank you for sharing, Rosie. It's great to get that hot take from you. Yeah, it's interesting. It feels like the connection with sort of running things as a human or automating things and the benefits of each. Thanks, Amandine. Simon, the badge giver. Yeah, I do feel the pressure with that. But actually, on the flip side, it's a lovely part of my job. It's a real privilege that I'm able to do that and in a position to do that. Thanks to what we're up to with Ministry of Testing. It is just amplifying what you're sharing there, Rosie. We're just kind of finding ways, like every interaction, we talk about expanding the Motiverse and people to participate and get involved and find a way that works for them. You know, there's loads of different ways for people to get stuck in that works on their terms and their amount of effort they want to put in and all of that stuff. just gotta help each other out, find those various ways, and get stuck in and support each other. Thanks, Ben. I won't read that one out because I feel a bit embarrassed now, but it's cool. I appreciate the kind words.
Can I read it out? I wanted to read it out. Simon Tomes, father of community, master of badges, adder of emojis.
That is just my role. Just to spend my time adding emojis. It's brilliant.
You can add these to your MIT profile, so we can introduce you like this from now on.
Absolutely, that's hilarious, Ben. Brilliant, Demi. Thank you, Rosie, for joining the stage, and thank you to everyone who's joined the stage today. What an awesome discussion, and lots of cool topics we've covered today. Demi, I'm just doing my time check, and you and I as co-hosts, we've hit the clock. We have hit the hour. So it looks like we've got to wrap things up.
Sorry to Ujwal was raised his hand, but got lost in the bug of the crowdcast. So we didn't really see it that well. So we didn't get you on stage. I'm very sorry, but join us next week. And then maybe you can give us a review of your last 2 weeks in testing. Yeah, everyone, thank you so much for joining us on stage, for joining us in the chat, and listening to This Week in Testing. It has been an amazing discussion, an amazing episode, I think.
Yeah, thanks so much, folks. And just grateful for everyone who turns up and listens in. Also grateful for everyone who's been sharing in the chat, for those who are listening live today, and for those who are gone for it and got stuck on stage. And not got lost on stage, which has happened in previous episodes, or multiplied themselves into 3, 4, 6, or 9 versions. Just a reminder for those who are watching live on your screen now, you'll see a reminder of the brilliant people who are part of Test Bash 2025. Tickets available, just head to ministrytesting.com/testbash. Discounts for professional members. We also offer some good deals for teams. So if you are a leader, if you're a leader, first of all, come along on the Tuesday, Leading with Quality, and then send your team to Test Bash. We guarantee that they will connect with a brilliant bunch of people. They will learn so much that they will be able to bring back to work and go, you know what? I've learned this stuff. We should give it a go. Let's make it happen. So Test Bash is the place to come. So that's in Brighton, in the United Kingdom, in October. Okay, folks, we're going to wrap up now. Thank you once again. Thanks for co-hosting, Demi. Always enjoy co-hosting with you. And we will speak to you all another time.